we're going to hear a story now about how some refugee kids adapt to life in this country. One girl in particular.
My name is Fatuma Ibrahim. I am 19 years old, and I live in South Boston. My parents are from Somalia, but they had us in Kenya.
The World's Jeb Sharp picks up her story.
Fatuma doesn't remember anything good about life in Kakuma refugee camp in Kenya. She was born there after her family fled the civil war in Somalia.
I remember poverty, feeling really hungry, and eating from the floor and going to school just for the food, and yeah.
She would hide the cookie she got for showing up at school under her shirt on the way home so the older kids wouldn't steal it from her. Then she'd split it with her little sister.
It tasted really good because, you know, when you don't have any food, everything tastes good. You know, when you have less of food, everything tastes really good. So it tasted really good.
Fatuma spent the first 8 years of her life in the refugee camp. Then, in 2004, her family was resettled in the U.S. Not surprisingly, her early memories of America also revolve around food.
I remember eating chicken for the first time. And I remember the feeling, and I remember what it smelled like. When I first came to America, that was the first food I ate.
The family settled into an apartment in Lynn, Massachusetts, north of Boston. Things were good. Her father found a job as a dishwasher. Fatuma and her siblings went to school. A few years went by, but for reasons Fatuma doesn't entirely understand, her parents could no longer afford the rent. She remembers driving around in the car, going into offices, watching her parents sign papers.
They were on the phone with someone trying to help us. I remember my dad saying, "Oh, I have my kids in the car. We don't know where to go."
They lived in a hotel for a while, and then went to a shelter in Holyoke in western Massachusetts. I asked Fatuma what it was like changing schools all the time.
It was kind of good because I didn't have any friends. I didn't speak at all. So moving was just like a new start for me every time, you know? I was just looking for something, which was to not be shy or to have some friends. I don't know.
Eventually, it was back to Boston, just in time for the joys of middle school. Luckily, the school had a girls' group for Somali students run by Saida Abdi, a social worker from Somalia. She saw Fatuma struggling and met with her family to understand why.
Imagine this family came here looking for permanency, looking for safety. They find that they have a house, the kids are going to school, there is this sort of moment of hope. But then all that gets yanked away, and now you're being drawn from one city to another four cities within like a few months. I mean, that takes away the sense of safety and can become a trigger for all that has gone past.
Abdi works out of the Refugee Trauma and Resilience Center at Boston Children's Hospital, a place that's learned a lot from the waves of Somali refugees who've come to Boston. Heidi Ellis runs the center. She remembers seeing a lot of Somali kids being referred for mental health evaluations because they were acting out in school. She realized they'd experienced incredible trauma, from the war back home to the violent streets they encountered here. The mental health system seemed to be failing them. So Ellis launched a research project.
Roughly two-thirds of the kids we interviewed about 144, roughly two-thirds had really significant PTSD symptoms, post-traumatic stress disorder. And then we took the most symptomatic group of those and said, well, these must be getting care somewhere. Where are they going? And of that group, 92% had never sought or received any kind of mental health service.
Their families knew the kids were in distress, but they weren't turning to mental health professionals. Saida Abdi explains why.
In some cultures like ours, just going to a stranger and talking to them doesn't make any sense. Like, why would I share my life experience with someone who has no idea where I came from? And in some languages, there is not in my language, for example, we have very limited words for mental health because we don't actually do mental health. You know, we do religion and we do culture. We don't do mental health. We don't say depression.
Somali families turn to community leaders for help instead. Working with those leaders and with schools, the team at Boston Children's Hospital discovered a lot. First was simply the level of trauma in the population. Second, while they couldn't fix the trauma, they could tackle the symptoms triggered by rough living situations, like when Fatuma's family was homeless. Heidi Ellis also found that the discrimination Somali kids felt in the U.S. was as powerful a predictor of PTSD symptoms as their trauma history.
So we built into our program work with the school, working with teachers, thinking about the school climate and how we could help kids feel like they were a genuine valued part of our communities here, help them manage the stress of being within these two cultures.
For Fatuma Ibrahim, managing that stress became a matter of survival. as we'll hear tomorrow in the second part of her story. For the World, Jeb Sharp, Boston.
Yesterday, we introduced you to a Somali-American teenager who came to the U.S. as a refugee. Her name is Fatuma Ibrahim, and she spent the first 8 years of her life in a refugee camp before moving here. The World's Jeb Sharp picks up her story as she enters middle school.
The first decision Fatuma Ibrahim had to make in middle school was whether to dress Somali or American. Skirt or pants, headscarf or no headscarf.
My first day, I was like, I don't know if I should take off my, you know, scarf, if I should wear pants or skirt. And so I was like debating, like I did not know what to do.
The skirt and headscarf felt okay at first. She was placed in a classroom with other girls from her Somali Bantu ethnic group. But then she tested out of that classroom because of her reading and language skills. In her new classroom, she felt completely alone.
Nobody wanted to sit next to me. I stood out from people, I guess, and they always pick on me. And, like, it would be boys, and everybody else would just, like, laugh. I don't know. I skipped, like, a lot because of that. I hated school because of that. It all made me hate it because of the bullying.
The school had a silver lining, though, a Somali girls group. The idea was to give the kids a safe space to hang out together and to give counselors a chance to look out for kids like Fatuma who might experience symptoms of depression or PTSD. Heidi Ellis directs the Refugee Trauma and Resilience Center at Boston Children's Hospital.
The kinds of problems that she was experiencing and the way that we ended up working with her, I think, is very representative of the kids we see in our program and the reason that our program exists.
The problems can revolve around the stress of experiencing one culture at home and a different one at school. By the time high school rolled around, Fatuma was tired of feeling different. She just wanted to fit in. So she decided to dress American, as she puts it, and start wearing pants.
And my parents didn't like that at all. Whenever I left for school, you know, I would stand by the stair, you know, I would hear my mom talking really badly about me. They were never okay with me dressing American, and so I just, like, always hated that. And whenever I came home, like, it's just like, I have to wear my scarf, whatever, and, like, I felt the pressure. And I started hanging out with people, you know, so different, you know, bad kids.
And Fatuma started lying about who she was.
No one knew that I was Muslim, and so I didn't know what to tell people what I was because I couldn't tell them that I was Somali, and I couldn't tell them that I was Muslim. I was like, oh, I'm this, you know, I'm that, and, you know, but I was not that. But I was only telling them that because the reactions that I got from middle school when I came to, like, high school, I wanted to change to a new person.
But it backfired. Lying made her miserable. She lost friends. One day a teacher asked if she was okay. She said no, that she hated life and wished she were dead. Fatuma was hospitalized with depression, the first of three hospitalizations during her high school years. It was a terrible period, but also a fruitful one. Fatuma worked with counselors and mentors, and she reconnected with Saida Abdi, the social worker who ran the Somali girls group at her middle school. Abdi worked with Fatuma and Fatuma's parents. Abdi says some of the most important work she does with families is simply explaining to parents that their child is in pain and that battles over things like clothing can be counterproductive.
It's symbolic of a bigger fight because you're really fighting about, is my child still in my culture? Does my child still hold the same values as I hold?
Fatuma thinks that Abdi helped her understand her parents and helped her parents understand her.
She was able to speak from both sides of being Somalian and being Somalian in this world and then being Somalian in America and also being, you know, American and a teenager.
Fatuma says she figured out a lot about herself in those years.
It's hard because you feel like two different people. When I'm with my American friends, I want to dress American. When I'm with my Somalian friends or my family, I want to dress Somalian.
Gradually, she became more honest with herself about that dilemma, and her parents became more accepting of her need to be American as well as Somali. In the end, Fatuma stabilized. She finished high school late, but she finished, striding proudly across the stage to collect her diploma. Now she has to figure out her future.
It's easier to figure out now, you know? Like, it helps a lot to come this far, you know? Because it's like I've overcome a lot, and I'm not still going to say I'm still going through it, but now I'm just like, I feel free, so now I'm at a good state in life, and it's good to say that.
It's good to hear it, too. For now, Fatuma is living at home with her family, working as a cashier, and applying for college. For the World, Jeb Sharp, Boston.